You are tuned to Leal's Running and Racing here at KMRE 88.3 FM. We always have a great time talking about running because we're runners. We want you to get out there and have a great time and enjoy yourself. I always tell everybody, put your shoes on and get out and run, but there's more to it than that. There's a lot of training involved. There's a lot of spirit. You got to have heart. That's all there is to it. Today on my show, we're going to have a very special guest, Bob Marvel. I just met him recently over at Lake Padden on January 1st. What a great way to start the year off. We talked about running. We talked about how he got involved. And Bob is here in the studio at Whatcom Community College. So, Bob, how did you get started?
On running?
Yes.
Well, I was not a runner growing up, nor was I in high school or college or even into my adult years. As far as running was concerned, when I turned 35, I thought, wow, that was the first time I had a significant birthday that felt like I'm getting older. And one of the things on my bucket list was I'd like to run a marathon one day, sometime, at least once. And then when I turned 35, I thought this will be the year. Up to that point, there were only two races I had run in my life. There was a 50-yard dash when I was in the fifth grade and a 10K for a running class that I took in college in 1985. And so this was now 1998, and I decided my third race will be a marathon. And so that was the plan, was to do this one and done, and so I did. A mutual friend of ours, Tammy Bennett, had run several marathons, and I knew her from the YMCA. And in August that year, I realized I haven't been training like I should to run the Portland Marathon in October. And I went to see Tammy. I said, Tammy, is there any way I can get ready in the next about 2 months or less? And she said, Bob, if you can run 13 miles today, then I think you can be ready by the first weekend of October. So that day I left the YMCA, went to Lake Padden, which is 2.6 miles around, and I ran around it five times, which was 13 miles. The next week I ran around it six times. The next week I ran around it seven times. The next week I ran around it eight times, which was just over 20 miles. So that I would not recommend that that's how anyone should ever train for a marathon. But the great thing about that, Leo, is that every single week that I ran, it was a new personal best for length for me. I'd never run that far before. So emotionally, every week was a victory. So then after the eight times around Padden, then I tapered for a couple weeks and went to Portland and ran my very first marathon. Had a great, great race, ran it in 3 hours and 42 minutes, and then I was never going to run another one again. And then 3 years later, all of that changed, and then it's, as they say, off to the races.
Did you do any other sports?
You know, I not any organized sports, played intramurals in college. During my adult years, I was more into lifting weights and playing basketball, racquetball, some of those things, but not running. That just seemed like torture to me. I never understood why anyone would ever want to run.
What are intramurals for the listeners out there?
Yeah, that would be anybody can play. And so it's not, you're not playing other schools, you're playing other teams within the college or university. And so it's more recreational. It's kind of like a league that you would, a community league, a rec league, a YMCA type of league, but it was within our college.
We're talking to Bob Marvel here at KMRE 88.3 FM, and we're talking about running. Now, did your parents run?
No, not at all.
Did your brothers or sisters run?
My sister ran a little bit of track in middle school and maybe early high school, but no, they were not runners.
So, Bob, when you started running around Lake Padden, what kind of shoes did you have on?
In those days, I just figured, well, Nike is the only shoe there is out there, of course, and so I was running Nikes. A funny thing, I look back now, I knew nothing, and my equipment was pretty I suppose primitive for running standards. That very first marathon, I had cotton tube socks as well as a cotton shirt, no wicking, no dry fit, anything, and just was doing what I thought you're supposed to do. So that was the start.
Now, when you ran with cotton shirts, I remember those days, mm-hmm. You'd have a burnt chest.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And tube socks, boy, with a red and white stripe, red and blue stripe or something around them. That's amazing, man, that you did that. Now, Lake Padden is a beautiful place to run anyway, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And the nice thing is that there's some up and down. You're in the trees, you're out of the trees, you're right by the water. It is a fantastic place to run.
And you did it five times?
That was the first training there.
You must be stubborn. Are you stubborn?
Stubborn, maybe. Determined or stubborn, yes. Yeah.
That's such a great story. You're listening to Running and Racing with Leo Shoemaker and friends. And my friend today is Bob Marvel talking about running. Now, after the Portland Marathon, with a great time for the first time.
Oh, I was very pleased with that, actually, yes.
And what year was that?
That was in 1998.
That's a while ago. So it's been 20-something years now. After the Portland Marathon, where did you go?
Yeah, at that point, I basically quit running. I got certified.
What?
I got certified scuba diving, started doing that. I was doing some mountain biking, went back to lifting weights and playing basketball and just having a fun time at the Y. And then in 2001, I believe, I had recently gotten married to my wife, Doreen, and she said, "Boy, I don't think I could ever run a marathon." I said, "What are you talking about? If I can run a marathon, anyone can run a marathon." And I said, "I ran Portland. Let's do Portland together." And so then we ran the Portland Marathon together in 2001. It was her first marathon. It was my second marathon.
Wow.
And then the next year she said, "Well, let's do that again." And in 2002, we ran that. At that point, I began to wonder, if I got serious about this, could I ever qualify for Boston?
Oh, Boston.
And that changed everything.
So did Doreen hit you after the first race?
No, actually, she had a really good experience. And years later, a little fast forward years later, our youngest daughter, her first marathon was with Doreen and I in Portland. So all of us have had our first marathon in Portland.
And what's her name?
Alyssa.
So
you met her on January 1st.
I got a picture of you guys.
Yes.
There. It was a beautiful day, January 1st at Lake Padden. The best way to start the year out. I always do it every year.
Absolutely.
Just for that reason alone.
Yeah.
Because we have to go out there and drive ourselves. So after Portland, you thought about Boston.
Yes.
And did you qualify?
So when I got serious about it in 2003, in a span of 7 months, I ran four marathons. We ran in the fall of 2003, we ran the Portland Marathon, and I think my time was a 3:30, not enough to qualify. Then we ran the Seattle Marathon in November, right after Thanksgiving, and then I thought, where do I have my best chance of getting a Boston qualifying time? During those days, the Las Vegas Marathon started out in Jean, Nevada, mm-hmm. and then it went downhill for 13 miles and then flat into Las Vegas. And so I registered for the Las Vegas Marathon. It was either late December, early January, and ran that and qualified. I got my best time ever on that race for a marathon. It was a 3 hours, 19 minutes, and 9 seconds.
And how old were you?
I was 40 at the time.
Okay, because there's qualifying time for age groups when you try to qualify for Boston. You got to reach a certain point. So that was great time.
Yes, it was. And it got me in. My qualifying time was a 3:20. And at that point, they gave me an additional 59 seconds. So I had to be 3:20:59 or faster, and I was 3:19:09. And so then a few months later, I ran Boston in 2003.
Can you still feel it in Las Vegas when you finish at that time?
Did you
jump up and down?
I tell you what, Leo, it was so amazing. The first 13 miles are downhill. A typical mistake, went out way too fast.
Sure.
And then when it flattened out, there was a wind that came from the north that was brutal, a headwind. And I just saw this buffer that I had just start getting eaten away. And I kept thinking, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do it. And when I finally got down to that last mile, checking my times, I'm like, okay, if you can stay strong, you can do that. When I came across and I realized I've qualified and no one was there that I knew. Doreen was still running, so she was back behind me. Didn't have any family or friends, no one to rejoice with me. And I just started crying.
Aww.
Because it's like it happened. I mean, it was such an emotional moment there for me. It was fantastic.
Do they start the Las Vegas Marathon early in the morning or at night? Sometimes
yeah.
you run it at night, don't
well,
they?
Well, now they do.
Yeah.
But in those days, yeah, we were out in the desert, and it was cold. It was really cold to start. But then they just kind of you could see the lights of Las Vegas 20-some miles away, and they said, "That's where you're going. See ya." It's just,
wow.
It was the most boring straight road you can imagine.
Uh-huh.
But it was a great race, yeah.
So did you start out heavily clothed?
No, I'm one to what's that? Be bold, start cold, because I run very hot.
I never heard that before.
Yeah, and so I had a throwaway sweatshirt that I would wear for the first mile or two.
Yeah,
and then just good.
Well, then you did Boston. I remember I ran Boston and it was freezing. Wind was going sideways.
Yeah.
We were all clothed up, and then after the first mile, we all started throwing clothes off to the side, and they would gather these clothes up and give it to the homeless.
Right.
I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah.
So what year did you run Boston?
So I've run Boston 6 times. 2004 was the first, 2004, 2007. And then I went on a run, 2010, 11, 12, and 13, in the year of the bombing. I ran it that year.
Where were you at when it happened?
I had just finished. Actually, Doreen was running that year, too. She's run it three times with me. I had just finished, and I was up Boylston Street at a Starbucks waiting for her to finish when those bombs went off. And I was close enough that I could feel the concussion, the percussion of that explosion. Had no idea what was going on. Wasn't really sure where Doreen was in relationship to the finish line. It was a pretty traumatic experience for us, even though we weren't right at the bomb site. I was a few blocks away. Doreen was still a couple of miles away, and they stopped the race, cut off all cell service. So I didn't know where she was, could not communicate with her, didn't know how I was going to find her. It was a pretty amazing day for us.
So how did you find Doreen?
So eventually, one of the neighbors in the neighborhood where they stopped the race loaned her a phone, and she was able to call me. I saw this number that I didn't recognize, and she said, "I'm okay. I'm not really sure where we are, but they won't let us finish." Mm-hmm. And so then it was trying to figure out how can we connect. And then we were staying outside of Boston. We had to get a subway back to our hotel. Well, they shut down the subways as well. And so then we had to walk, I don't know what it was, 5 miles to a subway that was running. There was so much. We could talk for a long time on that, but I know we have other things we want to cover.
So one more thing about Boston. On that race, did everybody get their medal?
You know what? I think everyone did get their merit medal, and the people that were not allowed to finish, they were automatically allowed to run the next year.
Ah.
So they didn't have to requalify. So they had an invitation to come back.
That's excellent. You're listening to Running and Racing with Leo Shoemaker and friends. My friend is Bob Marvel and Doreen here, talking about Boston, talking about how you get started running, talking the right things to do and the wrong things to do. But apparently, Bob, you've done everything right.
No, that is not correct. I've done a lot of wrong things.
What's a couple things you didn't do right?
I've on so many races started off way too fast. That's typical. Uh-huh. On times I've waited too long to fuel or to hydrate.
Oh, that's so important.
Yes. There have been races where I did not take the precautions, and some of the chafing in certain areas led to bleeding, which is not fun at all.
The shower afterwards, the next day.
Goodness.
Ow! Yeah. Or going downstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So you do the right things, the wrong things, as we all have done.
Uh-huh.
We've learned from our mistakes. So after Boston, how many times? Six times?
Six times.
That's wonderful. That really is. Are you a legacy? Can you run?
No, I'm not.
You still have to qualify.
I still do. In fact, just this last June, as I've turned 60 now, I requalified just in June. But my qualification was not fast enough to actually get me in this year. Mm-hmm. So
you're not going to run this year?
No, I sure wish I was able to. I always thought, you know, if I could do one more, seven, that seems to be like the perfect number. But
yeah.
I've qualified seven times. I've run it six times, and I'm very, very grateful for those experiences.
Bob, you've done great. You know, it is an experience.
Mm-hmm.
The people in Boston are always so cheerful and yelling and screaming the whole time, holding signs up, go by Wellesley College, and all the ladies are screaming at you. They have to sign something when they enter the college that they will be there.
Right.
I just learned that. I didn't know that. And they have to yell.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, the crowd support in Boston is really pretty much second to none.
So you're still training. You're still running after Boston. And what came to your mind? What to do next?
Yeah, so I've got a lot of races that I would love to run. I don't know that I'll get to run them all, but I had read a book called Duel Under the Sun. I don't know if you've ever heard of that
book. I haven't. No.
It chronicles, I think it was the 1984 Boston Marathon, where there was a head-to-head competition between a man named Dick Beardsley and Alberto Salazar.
Dick Beardsley, famous.
Yes, as is Salazar.
Yep.
And at the end of that, it's just amazing competition, but Salazar ruined his body. He did not hydrate. He ruined his body. Afterwards, Beardsley was in a farming accident. He became a drug addict. And then it tells their story of both of them conquering these things. In that story, Salazar talks about going to South Africa and running this thing called Comrades Marathon, an ultra marathon, and he won it. That was the first time I'd ever heard of Comrades Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, Gary Thomas, we've run Boston a few times together and a couple other marathons. He said in 2011, "Hey, Bob, when we turn 50, why don't we run Comrades Marathon? It's just like kind of, why not? It's bucket list. Well, we both turned 50, and he said, no, I'm not going to do it.
Oh.
And I thought, you know what, though? I still think I would like to do that. Uh-huh. And so there was this birth, this idea, this thought of going to South Africa and running the world's oldest and the world's biggest, not the world's longest, but the world's biggest ultramarathon of Comrades Marathon.
Now, the book again. Tell me the name of the book.
Yeah, Duel Under the Sun.
I got to find that book.
Yeah.
That sounds wonderful. So you thought about doing this race, the Comrades Marathon in South Africa. What city is it in?
It runs between Durban and Pietermaritzburg mm-hmm. 1 year, mm-hmm. and then Pietermaritzburg to Durban
the
next
year.
So they go uphill 1 year and downhill the next year.
Is it 100 miles?
It is about roughly, they change it a little bit every year, but it's roughly 89 to 90 kilometers, so it's a 56-mile race
okay.
with a very strict 12-hour cutoff, a very doable a qualification to get in it. I think the 5-hour marathon will qualify you for it. So that's for any semi-serious runner, that's pretty doable. But it's an amazing race. It's been going for almost 100 years.
How did it start?
It started, I believe, in 1921. And I believe it was after World War I,
okay.
Possibly. And the whole idea of being there with your comrades and going... And so it's been going on ever since. What's amazing, what's beautiful about it is that in South Africa, even through all the horrors of apartheid, everyone was allowed to run Comrades Marathon.
I didn't realize that.
Yes. So it doesn't matter your nationality. And over these years, it has become quite the national event. I mean, all three stations, their national stations, televise it all day long. People come out. Millions and millions of people. It's 56 miles, okay. and it's an amazing event.
Now, it's 12 hours long cutoff.
Yes.
What do they do, pick everybody up and say, you're done, go home?
So this, it's dramatic, because when you come into the final stadium for the finish, you know, they're cheering people on. At the 12-hour mark, the race director turns his back, and the national rugby team lines up across the finish line, and it's over. And it doesn't matter if you're 10 feet away. You don't get a medal. You don't get in the record book. You did not finish. And there is no grace on that one. And then the whole stadium just goes silent. It's eerie. And that, the fact that race director turns his back, it's to say, you no longer are a part of this race. It's a dramatic moment. And what's amazing with that is the last person across the line before that happens actually gets national notoriety. They interview them. They're on the morning shows and all that. You were the last one that made it across.
That's excellent. You're listening to KMRE 88.3 FM here in Westcombe Community College, brand new studios. And I thought we should have a running show. And Bob Marvel is my guest here at Running and Racing with Leo Shoemaker and Friends. We're talking about the Comrade Marathon in South Africa. Now, what year did you do it?
I did it in 2015 and 2016.
What did it feel like?
So going into it, I kept thinking, do I do the uphill year or do I do the downhill year? And I did a lot of research, a lot of reading, some books, talking with a couple of people here locally that had done it before, one who grew up in South Africa. And everyone seemed to say, the uphill, though it's counterintuitive, the uphill is actually easier on your knees, your quads, because when you're going downhill for that length of time, it's very, very painful. So I thought, well, I'm going to go with the uphill year. So looking at my schedule and stuff, the 2015, I thought that'll be a good year. Plus, that one was a very special year. It was their 90th running. And I've got to say this, Leo, that going into it, I kept thinking, wow, South Africa, that's a long distance. This is going to be a big expense. This seems kind of selfish to just do it for another experience. And I thought, what if I could put together this with something that helps others? And so I actually created a nonprofit for that event. It was called Beyond Our Borders, the initial spell Bob, which was kind of helpful for me.
Oh, that's
cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's good. Yeah.
Beyond Our Borders. And I found some organizations that work with one of the most impoverished areas in South Africa, a community called Khayelitsha. The unemployment is awful. The drug addiction, the murder capital of South Africa. It was horrible. And so I found a couple of of organizations to work with there to raise money to build a community center and to fund a leadership development program for high school students. And so we began to not only just have this goal of running Comrades, but now it had a meaning behind it as well. And so we began to ask people to sponsor me per mile. And mm-hmm. my goal, it was a pretty lofty goal, mm-hmm. was that I would be able to raise $2,000 per mile, which would be $112,000.
Wow.
We ended up raising $130,000. And because of a corporate sponsor that covered all of the administrative costs, every penny that was donated went directly to Khayelitsha and the programs there.
Is the program still happening?
So the community center is still going. They have a child care center. They feed out of that. There's a church that meets there. They have community programs there. That one is still going really, really strong. The leadership development program started really, really strong. And then when COVID came, it shut down the schools, which is what they were doing that in. And so after COVID came back up, it has not restarted.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
So tell us about the race itself now. Okay, you're at the starting line. How many people are there with you?
This is where it's the world's largest ultramarathon, 20,000 runners.
And they're going to run 56 miles.
They're going to run 56 miles.
What about the support stations?
It's amazing how much support there is. The aid stations all along the way. And so it's called the ultimate human race. And so the idea is that we're all comrades in this together. And it was amazing, not only the support of the crowds on the sides of the road, mm-hmm. but the runners themselves.
Yeah, sure.
So I was running, and I was going through one of the water stations, and there's so many people. It never really ever thins out like mm-hmm. a lot of marathons do. And I couldn't make my way. They had water on both sides of the road. I couldn't make my way to either side. And I'm like, ah. And because I had my number on it, had my name on it, I heard this voice say, Robert, Robert. And I turned around, and he handed me one of his waters.
Oh,
never even
so cool.
met this guy. I said, really? Cool. He said, we're all in this together.
Oh, I love
it.
That.
It was beautiful. And that's it's this ultimate human race that we're comrades together. We're going to do this together. It was a beautiful thing.
So, Bob, what was the weather like at the Comrade Marathon?
Yeah, because it's in the Southern Hemisphere and it's run in in May, it's their fall.
That's right.
So it's actually quite pleasant. It was nice. You know, people think, oh, you're running in Africa, you're running from lions, and it must be terribly hot. No, actually, it was not terribly hot. It was
any lions?
No lions. No lions. And if there were, there's so many people. They've got a lot to choose.
They're
from.
Probably scared.
Yeah,
a lot to choose from. We're talking to Bob Marvel here about the Comrade Marathon, the weather. The comradeship. I love this. This is a beautiful, wonderful story. I knew this was going to be a good story. I just knew it when we started talking. So, Bob, so you're running the race.
Yeah.
You have help from your fellow runners.
Right.
What was the course like?
So the course it's on roads, but the elevation of the course, it goes on that year from down at sea level, and then you run uphill from Durban up to Pietermaritzburg. So on the uphill year, the majority of the uphill is on the front end. The good thing about that is you're still strong and fresh with your legs. Then there's some rolling hills, and there's a couple spots later on that are a little bit more difficult. It was amazing. I also had a group a support group of a van with some family and friends.
Oh, did you? Good.
Yes.
Good.
So the downside of that is I had timed my fueling that they would meet me at certain spots. We missed each other on the first spot. So in the second, probably the second quarter of the race, I was underfueled. I didn't have some of the gels that I had. Now, fortunately, the race provides other things. And on an ultramarathon, you can't run that distance. I can't run that distance on just gel.
So what do you eat?
Well, so they would offer things like salted potatoes, which is interesting, but these like little new potatoes that have been roasted and salted. So the salt for, because you're sweating out so much, and the potato for the carbohydrates that are easily digestible and able to fuel your body. And so there were those kind of things, as well as gels and fruit and cookies and all kinds of things. So
do you still eat salted potatoes?
Dina, not on my runs.
Bob Marvel is here talking about the Comrade Marathon and running. Now, you brought a lot of nice articles. You have maps of the race. You have medals. You have articles that were written about you.
Right.
I'm going to take all these pictures and post it along with the podcast of this show. Tell us about the article.
Yes.
In the paper.
Yeah. So when I had raised the $130,000 for Khayelitsha, that was somehow got out. And so there was a reporter from the Cape Argus newspaper in South Africa, in Cape Town, that had heard about that. And so she interviewed me and got pictures, and they ran an article in the Cape Argus newspaper. And then this one is from the Bellingham Herald. They picked it up and ran an article as well to talk that it wasn't just a race, but it was a race with a purpose to raise the funds to help out impoverished people in South Africa.
And they did a pun here.
Yes.
Bob is simply marvelous.
Yeah.
Bob Marvel here. I love this. I'm going to take pictures of all these things. Bucket list of fundraiser. There's some wonderful pictures here of you, and I'm going to take pictures of all this too. What a wonderful thing you did for the community and yourself.
Yes.
Because you probably always had this in your heart.
Right.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Any plans of doing any future comrades?
Well, so here was the problem is that when I ran that one, everyone that I said, hey, I ran comrades, they said, no, you've run half of comrades. You only ran uphill. You haven't run downhill yet. And they said, come back and run next year downhill. And so I did. I went back in 2016, raised another $50,000, and went back and ran the downhill the next year, which also qualifies you for a special medal. It's called the back-to-back medal, that if you run 2 years, 1 year uphill and 1 year downhill, you get the special medal of back-to-back races. And so I went back in 2016 and ran it again.
Are these the South African colors?
No, they are not. Okay. It's just that's the Comrade's colors.
Wonderful, wonderful medals, wonderful articles about everything. Bob, you've been a pleasure to talk to. I knew I can get something up. Now, we're talking about runners here in town that you run with. Who do you run with?
So I have a lot of friends that I run with. I love the running community as you do as well. I think the running community, they care about health. They are supportive and encouraging. And they're just fun people.
Yeah.
You know, when you get around runners, and it's something that people from all walks of life have in common, it's a great community. And when you get friendships in the running community, for instance, one of the races I do every year is the Ragnar Relay here in the Northwest Passage. And it's, you know, it's not a competitive thing for our team. But boy, we just have a lot of fun and just absolutely love that. So I have friends that I run with, a guy that I've run with every Friday morning for literally decades, different running groups. And so, a lot of good support in the running community.
And the important thing is to find somebody who talks a lot so you can listen to him while you're running. And before you know it, the race is over or whatever, the run is over.
Yeah.
Every Friday, that's great. What's his name?
His name is Rick Kukoski.
What a great thing. And you also belong to a church?
Yes, I'm a part of Cornwall Church. In fact, our Ragnar team is the Cornwall Cruisers.
Hey, that's cool.
We come out of that every year. And, and we have a lot of runners. And it's just, you know, I have a friend of mine, Twyla Wiebe, and I was talking to her about some of the things as I've gotten older, my pace has gotten slower. And she gave me this great word of wisdom. She said, Bob, where do you find your joy in running? And that changed everything. It's not about, can I be as fast as I once was? Can I still find joy in running?
Bob Marvel, you gave me a lot of joy here. Doreen and Bob Marvel are here talking about the racing area, the scene here in Bellingham, Washington, and Comrade and Boston. I want to thank you so much for coming in. Is there a Facebook we can follow you on or for your charity?
No, the charity, we just did it for that point, so we closed that down.
Okay.
We didn't want that to just continue on, and so, yeah.
Well, wonderful, wonderful time with you, Bob.
Great.
I want to thank you for coming in to Running and Racing with Leo Shoemaker and Friends. You're an honor to talk to. You made me laugh, and that's a great thing. Thank you, Bob.
You bet, Leo. Thank you.